back in the book of Luke tonight. Luke chapter 15 tonight, if you can turn there. Luke chapter 15. We can get those first 10 verses if we can read them together. It's a bit of a habit, isn't it, reading the Word of God together? That's a good habit to be. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And as I was looking at this passage today, and earlier I was thinking about, I couldn't have picked a better passage coming up at Friend Day. Speaking about the lost and the need to get saved. So let's read it together. Luke 15, verse 1 through 10, starting there in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do just want to thank you once again for this beautiful day we've had, Lord. It's a privilege to meet again. Thank you for your word that we're able to read, Lord. And this is certainly a wonderful passage, Lord. There's wonderful truths here. Lord, that you open our eyes and our understanding, Lord, so that we would be able to comprehend that which you have for us. Lord, it is a challenging passage in many ways. And Lord, our prayer is that through your word tonight, it will be accomplished and you will be glorified and magnified. We ask and pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Again, when we come to this passage, these first two verses, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In a sense, they were looking in disgust at the Lord Jesus. It's like, how could he, if he's supposed to be a teacher, if he's supposed to be who he says he is, how could he get down there with sinners and then eat with them? Like, the Pharisees and the scribes, that would be a definite no-no. And they would look at those publicans, the tax collectors, they would look at those sinners known for their public sin, and they would just move away from them, saying, no way would we get near them. They're just unclean, they're whatever else. And yet the Lord Jesus, he's down there with them. He receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I mean, just receiving them would be bad for the Pharisees and scribes, let alone sitting down and having a meal with them. It'd be like, come on. I'm thankful. It's a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus, isn't it? You have a look at Matthew chapter 11. This wasn't the first time that they criticized him in this way. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. Notice what it says next. And a friend of publicans and sinners. It's like, Jesus, what are you doing? You're a friend of these tax collectors, these despised people, these sinners. You're a friend of theirs. Thank God he's a friend of sinners. Amen. Oh, my. Thank God he is. Let's come back to Luke, this time chapter 5, as we head towards chapter 15. But Luke chapter 5, we've seen this previously, and we're going there. In verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Listen, you scribes and Pharisees. These publicans and sinners, they need salvation. Yes, they are dirty, stinking sinners, if you want to use those terms, but so are you guys. You're full of self-righteousness. You're full of your own so-called goodness. You're full of your own religion. Just forget about it. It's interesting, isn't it? Both these parables which you read of tonight, there's a picture here of our Lord Jesus. When you look through the scriptures, you find the Lord Jesus in a number of places given the name of shepherd. In John chapter 10, he's called the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. We find another place he's called the chief shepherd. We find another passage in Hebrews he's called the great shepherd. And then we find in Psalm 23, where David said, the Lord is my shepherd. It's wonderful to think that our Lord Jesus, pictured here as the shepherd with all the compassion and concern for the lost and seen here, we can say, he's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And so as we look at this passage, verse 3 and 4, firstly, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now he's beginning again, once again, to challenge these Pharisees and scribes. He's challenging them. He says, I've got a question for you. What man, having 100 sheep, if he lost one, that he wouldn't go out and try and find that one that was lost? Well, what man wouldn't do that? Go after that which is lost until he find it. Now he's drawing an analogy here. Of course, the publicans and sinners are lost people. They're lost. They're not part of God's family at that point. The word lost has a certain facets to it. One of it means just being out of place. They're just out of place. Until someone trusts Christ as their Savior, they're out of place in this world. They might fit in the world, but when it comes to God's economy, they're out of place. They're not in God's will. They're not in God's place. It talks also lost about being worthless or not worth anything. Not worth anything. It's interesting also that in one of the Greek words, there's a part in that which talks about destroyed. It talks about, so in relation to that, we can say someone who is not saved, they are a spiritual wreck. Because until we get saved, we're not worth anything. I say that very carefully. The Bible says, you know, what shall a profit a man who should lose his own soul? It's worth more than the whole world. When it comes into the context of a relationship with God, and then he says, these lost people, they are spiritual wrecks. It's interesting, I read something, and I'm going to read it for us now, about a cast sheep. If you think about lost sheep, this is what could happen to a sheep. It could be a cast sheep. And so I want to read what Philip Keller says about this. And it's very interesting what he has to say. Philip Keller had a sheep property back in the day, and he's written some books. This one is a good one called Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And he talks about cast down sheep. He says, this is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up again by itself. He said, a cast sheep is a very pathetic sight, lying on its back, its feet in the air, it flays away frantically, struggling to stand up without success. Sometimes it will bleat a little for help, but generally it lies there, lashing about in a frightened frustration. If the owner does not arrive on the scene within a reasonably short time, the sheep will die. Okay? That's called a cast sheep, you say. Now, This knowledge that any car sheep is helpless, close to death, and vulnerable to attack makes the whole problem of car sheep serious for the manager or for the shepherds. Says nothing seems to arouse his constant care and diligent attention to the flock as the fact that even the largest, fattest, strongest, and sometimes healthiest sheep can become calf and be the casualty. He said, actually, it's often the fat sheep that are the most easily calved. The way it happens is this. A heavy, fat, or long fleece sheep will lie down comfortably in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll on its side slightly to stretch out or relax. Suddenly, the center of gravity in the body shifts so that it turns on its back far enough that the feet no longer touch the ground. It may feel a sense of panic and start to paw frantically. Frequently, this only makes things worse. It rolls even further. Now, it's quite impossible for it to regain its feet. As it lies there struggling, gases begin to build up in the rumen. As these expand, they tend to retard and cut off blood circulation to extremities of the body, especially the legs. If the weather is very hot and sunny, a car sheep can die in a few hours. If it's cool and cloudy and rainy, it may survive in this position for several days. You say, why did you read that? Just to think about it. Here's a lost sheep. I mean, the shepherd may be thinking, I wonder if it's cast somewhere. That's why I can't see it. That's why it hasn't come back. Because if it's cast, it's in big trouble. It can't get up. And so he's out looking for this lost sheep, out trying to find it. The sheep is totally helpless. And for a lost sheep, then what do we think about? First of all, a lost sheep's in danger. Lost sheep's in danger. Because out in those days, there were lions and bears and all sorts of animals out there. You think about what King David wrote about when he was a shepherd. They're out there wanting to get this sheep. They want to eat them. And so, I'm the shepherd, I've lost one. I need to find it before some of these predators find it. So there's an urgency there. They're lost. They're in danger. But not only that, as I was reading a little bit more about sheep, there would be no peace for that sheep out there because a wandering sheep, this fellow said, makes a sorrowful bleating sound. It's lost. It's away from the whole, the rest of the flock. And it knows it's lost. It makes a terrible bleating sound. Not only that, again, as we've already touched on, there's no protection from this predator. And what a picture, really, if we want to use it for a lost person. Robertson said this, there is nothing more helpless than a lost sheep except a lost sinner. He said, there's only one thing worse than a lost sheep, and that's a lost sinner. A lost sinner is in a place where they're in spiritual danger. If they die, they'd go to hell. They're in just a wandering, painful situation, trying to work out what's life all about, where do I fit in, how's this all going to work out. And they've got no protection from Satan. He can just come and go as he pleases. He's the great enemy of the soul. So this shepherd, he realizes one's lost. You don't know what happened to him. It's just a parable illustrating a truth. But after that, he goes after that which is lost until he find it. And notice he goes after it. He doesn't just say, well, I'll just wait for the sheep to come. And I use that as a particular point because the Lord Jesus says to us, we are to go and preach the gospel. He doesn't say wait and preach the gospel when people come. Now we're to do that as well, but he says we're to go and ye into all the world. And so the shepherd is going after that which is lost, and notice what it says, until he find it. Until he find it. Now that speaks of persistence. That speaks of diligence. That speaks of don't give up. Now just because you talk to someone and don't fall on the ground and beg for mercy and get saved straight away, don't think that's the end of the story. Don't give up. Be diligent. Be consistent. Be persistent. What a wonderful picture of our Lord Jesus. You think about it. You think about it when you look back over your own life and think about how long-suffering God was before you got saved and how gracious and how he continued to bring events and people into your life until you get to that place when you finally trust Christ as your Savior. The Good Shepherd. He doesn't give up. And again, what about us? Do we give up? Well, I spoke to them once, that's the end of that. I wouldn't carry on any further. They weren't interested. Let me tell you this. You don't know what's going on inside the person. I've spoken to people, yeah, big front on the outside. Hey, you come here, real good. And now later you think, what a shocking mess. What a hopeless mess. And yet the initial is, him, life's good, really great, fantastic. Remember this young fellow I spoke to? Door knocking. Yeah, no, life's good. He's about 28, I think, something like that. Yeah, life's really good, have a great time. Half an hour later, I was just about depressed. When I got home, I said to my wife, you know what, we're talking this about later. I said, I felt like grabbing a rope and jumping off with him. And it was so bad what he was, how his life was. And yet outwardly, there's this, yeah, no, it's all good. Don't just go by the outward appearance. If that person's lost, then we have to be diligent in reaching out to them. We have to be persistent. We're not to give up. And I've said it many times. If someone were to say, and I've got people I visit in this town, who I met years ago door knocking, they're not saved yet. They're still living a life. And I keep going back and they say, you don't give up, do you? I said, no, I don't give up. So I'll tell you why I don't give up. God never gave up on me. He said, but if you tell me don't come back, I won't come back. I respect that. But until you tell me don't come back, I'm going to keep talking. I won't be here every day. I won't be here once a week necessarily. I'll be around to see you. And I have something for you to read. You go around then. You got one of those tracks for me? Yep. Thank you. Talking to a man recently, he said, every time I see him, about every 3 weeks, he said, I got that many tracts in front of my Bible now, starting to bulge. He said, I read it and put it in the front of my Bible. I don't know how many he's got a few, I know that. Trouble trying to work out which one am I giving now? What's the point I'm trying to make? The shepherd went until he didn't give up, he didn't get discouraged. Now sometimes we get discouraged. The devil says, what's the point? They're not interested. You don't know that. You don't know what God's doing in their heart. So we have to be careful. Take notice of what he did until he find it. Notice what he says in verse 5. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That sheep was obviously in some trouble. The fact that he had to carry it, that sheep was in some serious trouble. Again, that's a picture of a sinner, isn't it? They're in serious trouble. And they need the gospel. And they need to be carried, as it were. But once they're saved, now they're safe and secure. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. It's a wonderful truth. And not only that, the Bible says here in verse 5, he layeth on his shoulder rejoicing. Yes, I found that sheep. Wow. Oh, wow. Yes, I've got to carry it. It's in a bit of trouble, but I found it. Well, we read on, verse 6. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying, then rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. He shares his joy. I think we've all been pretty much in that situation, most of us at least, where you've spoken to someone about the Lord, you just want to tell someone else. Boy, I had an opportunity to talk to somebody the other day about the Lord. It was so good. What an encouragement it was. And there's a joy that you have, and you want to share that with other people, I mean. Well, I do anyway. I like to tell people. Boy, it was amazing. I was talking to someone the other day, and whatever it is, it might be that they're not outwardly interested. That doesn't matter. Had a chance to talk and share the gospel with them. So he shares his joy. Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. That sheep that was out there, had to carry it home, it was in bad shape, but I found it. Rejoice with me. And that's what the Lord Jesus said, makes application here. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The Lord Jesus in these parables is highlighting the importance of one soul, of one person. Just one sheep's lost. Just one. Ah, don't worry about it. Still got 99 others. No. That one is valuable. That one is important. And so the Lord Jesus says, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There's rejoicing. So when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, the person who has the privilege of sharing the gospel with them, they're rejoicing. Then they share it with others and they're rejoicing. And then not only that, there's rejoicing in heaven. I mean, it's a pretty joyful time when someone trusts Christ as their Savior. There's rejoicing in heaven. Notice what he says there. More than over 99 which need no repentance. What's he saying? Over one sinner that repented. You see, it's not all about easy believers. Just believe in Jesus, he'll be okay. No. The devil believes in him, if you want to put it that way. No. Repentance is something that means there's a real change in my attitude and thinking. Before, I wasn't interested in God, the things of God. Before, I wasn't interested in spiritual things. Before, I couldn't care less about those things. But now I'm very interested. Now I want to know, is this true or not? Because if it's true, I want to know. And so there's a whole change now of attitude and thinking. There's what we call a turning around in our thinking. Before, I'm going this way. God and the Bible and the church is over that direction. I'm heading that way. But now I've repented. Now I've turned. I'm now going the other direction. Now I'm seeking God. Now I'm wanting to get right with God. That's what repentance is about. It's not what I do. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of thinking. It's a turning around in my thinking. And now I'm aiming at God, not aiming at anything or anyone else. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Isn't that amazing? To God, how important one soul is. Just one. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I haven't spoken to 40 people this week. That's okay, you've spoken to one. One's very important. To God, one is very important. That one Christ died for, that makes it important. They're lost, they need some help. And then he begins to speak again in the second parable about this woman. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. Now this coin, I understand the Greeks called drachma, and it was the equivalent of a day's wage. So she's got 10, she's lost one, she's just done in 10 for her work. We can put it that way. I don't know how she lost it. She dropped it somewhere in the house anyway. And so she dropped it. She loses one piece. She lights a candle and sweeps the house, seeking diligently till she finds it. Now, in those days, they didn't have what we've got, electricity and all the lighting and everything else. If it had any windows at all, they were very small openings in the wall. So it's generally been quite dark inside. And oftentimes, also, the floors were of earth. So you can imagine, here's this dark place, and you've lost this coin somewhere inside. You don't know where it is. It's gone somewhere. But I need it. Where's it gone? And the coin itself is going to become dirty, isn't it? Because on the floor. And again, that's a good picture of a sinner. Sin defiles. Before God, we are dirty sinners, if I can use that word carefully. We saw something of that this morning, didn't we, in Isaiah, how God views sinners who are not right with him. And so once again, like the shepherd, and seek diligently till she finds it. She doesn't just walk around the house and go, oh, no, I can't see it, won't worry about it. No. She has set herself to find this lost order. I wonder with you and I, do we have that same diligence? When we're praying, do we pray sometimes, Lord, would you please give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? Maybe today, Lord, there'd be someone I could share the gospel with. Well, we are. Well, you know, I'd be out and about to have to trip over someone. That's okay. That's fine. How diligent are we in seeking the lost? Now, yes, we have divine appointments, and we've known what that is. You're out there, and all of a sudden, someone turns up you haven't seen for a long time. Before long, the conversation opens up, you're able to talk to them about the Lord. Undivided appointment. But are we seeking to share the gospel with others? Are we seeking the lost? Are we diligent about that? Are we serious about that? So in verse 9, when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, rejoice with me. I found the peace which was lost. The shepherd, wasn't it? He's rejoicing. She says, rejoice with me. I'm rejoicing. I found the coin. And so she invites her friend. Hey, I lost one of my coins, but I found it. Hey, how good's that? Let's rejoice. I want you to rejoice with me. I found that which was lost. It was very precious to me, whatever it was to her. But she's rejoicing that she's found it. Again, what do we see in verse 10? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. One sinner. If you were here tonight and lost, and you said tonight, I'm going to repent, I'm going to turn to God, I'm going to believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for me, was buried and raised again, I'm going to ask God to forgive me and save me. You know what would happen instantly? You're rejoicing in heaven. There would be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented. Rejoicing in heaven. Imagine that affects heaven to that point. That tells me that they're looking down on us. Otherwise, how can they going to get all excited and rejoicing when they see a sinner repent? So the angels are watching. When they see one sinner repent, rejoice. This great rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. Great rejoicing. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? You see the concern of the shepherd and of the woman over just one sheep, one coin. They're very, very concerned. And they are very diligent and they're very persistent. Till they find that which was lost. Now, just a couple of other thoughts. When a sheep and coin is found like that, guess what? It's very obvious, isn't it? Here's the sheep that was lost. Here's the coin that was lost. And you know what happens when someone gets saved? It's very obvious. It's very obvious. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away, now all things have become new, and now that person is a new person in Christ. And it's seen, it's observed. Because before this was like, now, I just want to read the Bible. Now I want to pray. Now I want to be in church. Boy, this is amazing. I didn't know life could do this good. See, it's observable. Sheep, lost, now it's found. The coin, lost, now it's found. Very obvious. Very obvious. When someone repents and is saved, it's very obvious. But again, as we've already touched on, so what's important in heaven today? If you read through the scriptures, what would you find is important in heaven? Outside this, I don't think you find a whole lot. What you do find is, when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing. Rejoicing in heaven. Imagine that. I don't rejoice if anyone at the footy last year. They couldn't care less who won the footy. What's that got to do with that? When someone gets saved, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God before the throne of God. So I trust tonight we can think about that. As I said, we've got prayer coming up. And you might say, I wouldn't know what to say to someone. Just share what God's done in your life. That's all. Just tell them where you were and where you are. It's really that simple, in a sense. But what if I ask a lot of questions and tell them, I don't know, I'll find out. So what if you don't know? That's okay, nobody knows all the answers to every question. I have people ask me all sorts of questions, say, I don't know. Let me tell you what I do know. I do know you're a sinner and you need to get saved. Let's stick with what we do know. We'll let God take care of things we don't know. But are we diligent? Are we seeking, or we just lay back? Let's wait and see. get an opportunity to look upon. The shepherd, he was diligent. He was persistent. Kept going. I'll just close with this thought. John Wesley said this: the church has nothing to do but to save souls. That's a good way to finish out. Remember, friend day coming up, need to be what? Seeking opportunities to invite people to hear the gospel so that some might be saved. What a blessing that would be. Heavenly Father, we do bless you and praise you for this passage in your word. And Lord, it certainly, it thrills my heart, I know when I read it, to think of our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, all that he suffered, all that he went through on our behalf, seeking the lost, seeking to save sinners. We'll see later in this book of Luke, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a wonderful thought that is, Lord, because without that we'd be wandering in sin, in darkness, lost, and forever lost if we were to die in that condition. We're thankful, Father, for the gospel message whereby if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. And not only that, there's rejoicing, and especially rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. Lord, it's amazing. It's thrilling. But Lord, help us to just remember our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be that good shepherd. Our responsibility is to be that diligent woman in seeking out that which is lost. Lord, to go out, as we read previously a couple of weeks ago, to go out in the highways and the byways and the hedges, invite people in, invite them to receive Christ as their Savior. So, Father, we just thank you again. We do commit to your friend day coming up, Lord. May it be an opportunity, Lord. It has been in the past. May it be an opportunity, Lord, that we can invite in some lost people who would hear the gospel. Maybe not even get saved, but, Lord, that would be a blessing. We just rejoice in that day. But, Lord, at least to be seeking the lost, giving them an opportunity to hear the gospel message so that, Lord, they could be saved. So again, we just praise you for this day and this time tonight. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.